Okay, in the name of Jesus, we continue to study the book of Daniel. Can every switch the projector? Please. It's Control F. Or this one. Doesn't work. What's wrong? That's yesterday, you know. Can you make the resolution better?
Yeah. So. Should come higher or just keep the same? I just did that. But okay.
Can we make a resolution better? Really?
Yeah.
Then use USB to project there. Okay. While we have solved the problem, let's read chapter 4. Chapter 4, verse 27. Chapter 4, verse 27. Daniel, can you please read? Okay, so this is a advice of Daniel to the king, right? Let my counsel be acceptable to you. And this is called true prophet. Yesterday we stopped here. A true prophet always provide a way and that the audience to know what to repent. So have to always provide a way to become better. So what does the advice talking about? What is the key point to the king? What Daniel suggests is how he deal with others, right? Because he mentioned about you have to break off your sins by righteousness because God's will has been revealed to him. He knows then he must obey, do righteousness according to God's will, and show mercy to the poor. So be merciful. As a king, he has a lot of power. But Daniel just asked him, you must be merciful to others. His action reflects his acknowledgement of power come from God. Actually, he is the tool of God only. He is nothing. You cannot consider yourself as a something before God. Okay? So then you say, oh king, let my advice be acceptable to you. Okay. And next, let's please go to the slide number 93. So what is probably the greater lesson where the timing of the dream come true is concerned? Is this 93? I think this is 82, right? Huh? It's 93? Okay. What is the timing? Let's read verse 29, verse 28 and 29. 28 to 30. Sister Vicky Xue, Victoria. Yeah. Okay, so this dream come true after 12 months later, right? So God provide the opportunity, a 12 month for him to consider the warning and the repent from his sins. This is God's grace, isn't it? God give him a warning so strong, right? So obviously. Because the voice from heaven say, chew down the tree. Oh? So Daniel interpret, so the king knew what is going to happen. 12 months. But in verse 30, then he forgot. Right? So, next please. What did the king use the time given him? 12 months. What did he do? This is a key. Sometimes God allows us a period of grace, you know, a period of time of grace. God give us chance to change, but we don't treasure it, we use it in different purpose. Then the judgment will follow. So in verse 30, in verse 29, he was walking about the royal palace and then actually become even more proud of himself and his achievement, right? Rather than humbling himself and seeking God's will. This action actually reflects to what we may do in our life. Regarding to our faith. Now, every seminar, we come to a church, we listen to the sermon, we always get some point. That's why even some truth seeker, they may be the first time in the church, but the message is already talking to their heart. How come the speaker knew so much about my life, and all talking about my my matter, the things, what I need to change. So Holy Spirit is working. That's why the message will come to someone's heart. But once we hear it, this one thing, but the decision is ours, whether you want to change or not. So to do is another thing, right? So now the king, he walking around his palace and he is so proud of himself. Next, please. Next slide. So how does what happened to the king teach us something about what it means in scripture when judgment is said to come quickly? Because in verse 31, while the word was in the king's mouth, then there fell a voice from heaven saying, O King Nebuchadnezzar, to you it is spoken, the kingdom is departed from you. Your kingdom is departed from you. So the kingdom is at the hand of God. Now God wants to take it away. So God's grace shone by giving us warning and the chance for repentance. If we ignore it, at that very point in time, the judgment happened right away. So sometimes the miracle also happened right away. Judgment may just come right at on that particular time. So the king still saying, wow, this is so beautiful, the great city of Babylon. He may just record all the achievement he had done for his kingdom. Then the voice came down from heaven. The judgment just take place on him. So this we know the story, right? Then the king just become just like a beast. And according to what Daniel said, interpreted in the for the dream, in verse 34. Now, this is a process of recovery. Next slide, next please. What was the first step to the king's recovery? Recovery from verse 34. Please read 34. Sister Tiffany. Tiffany, please read. Okay, thank you. So, what is the first step, the king's recovery? According to verse 34, what is the first step? Brother Gary Lee. Verse 34.
Yeah. What? Praise the Lord.
Okay, Sister Lydia. Say again. He lifted up his eyes, please. So first the king said, I lift my eyes to heaven. So it is a visible, physical acknowledgement of God's authority and sovereignty as the king of the heaven over the king of the earth. So this action, this physical physical behavior, lift up eyes to heaven. When he changed to really respect this heavenly God, the only one true God. Then at the moment, wow, all the understanding, wisdom returned to him, including the kingdom, authority, everything. Right? So how was the recovery followed up? Once he lift up his eyes, and then one by one just follow, right? At the end, verse 34, at the end, I praise the Most High and honor him. I praise the Most High and I praise and honor him that lives forever. That lives forever. So it was an expression of having learned the right lesson from the judgment, that he was nothing and God was everything, and express spiritual acknowledgement of God. So this is the king, his lesson. Now he get it. He know he is nothing. God is everything. So he had to praise God, honor God, obey God. Okay, so this after he learned the lesson, and he wanted to bear testimony to make everybody aware of this sovereignty of God. He is the true king. Okay, so next. What are the lessons that the king learned? From verse 34 to verse 35, we can find these things. You put in, you circle it. Verse 34. First, number one, God's dominion is an everlasting dominion. God's dominion is the dominion, is a kingdom of saints. So, church is under this God's dominion. Church is God's kingdom, the kingdom of heaven. Okay? The church actually is in heaven, heavenly Jerusalem. The church on the earth, this physical church, you and I, all brothers and sisters, we comprise of the church on earth. But in reality, in spiritual, we are in the heaven. Okay? So this God's dominion is everlasting dominion. Number two, verse 35. All the inhabitants of the earth are accounted as nothing. So we must be humble. Don't consider ourselves as something. No. So in the book of Isaiah, it's special mention. Who are we? We are just nothing in the eyes of God. If God doesn't care about us, we are just perish. Just cannot compare, just like a drop of water of the great ocean. But if you are only a drop of water is something, because you have material there. But Isaiah said, we are just empty, nothing. Let us acknowledge this reality. Number three, God does according to his will. If God wanted to do these things, then it happens. Number four, no one can restrain God's hand. This is all in verse 35. Okay? No one can restrain God's hand. So we have to ask for his mercy. This hand, in the chapter 5, we will see his hand is in human's history. This hand will appear on the wall and write something out. So no one can restrain God's hand. Number five? Oh. Number four, huh? Actually, this is to be continued. What have we learned from the testimony of the king? Because later, the king, he proclaimed what he happened, what he experienced to his people. So, from his lesson, we learn God give men adequate and the details warning. The details are revealed by Daniel's interpretation. Okay. So in the dream, in that vision, is a mystery to king, but the details revealed. This is what God warned people. So God is just, right? He is righteous. He did not punish a person without give them a notice. So we have to be aware if God give us some hint about our wrongdoings, we must be sensitive enough to receive the message. Don't just ignore it. Number two, God give me sufficient time to hear, to heed his warning and to repent. God give men actually sufficient time. I missed typo. God give men sufficient time to heed his warning and repent. So that's why 12 months, this period of time, allowed for the king to repent. Number three, God's judgment comes on those who steadfastly refuse to repent. Right? So the judgment comes quickly if we refuse to listen to his warning, if we reject to repent. This is the end result. Number four, God's judgment works to either change hearts or punish those hearts refusing to change. So, okay, so this is what we learn from chapter 4. Okay? Now we continue in chapter 5. Any questions? Because I suppose you all read the scripture. I suppose you know the story in details or enough, okay? So this is a way we just go through some point and then find the spiritual teachings. Chapter 5. The title is The God's Hand in History. The God's Hand in History. So in chapter 5, we see how the kingdom of Babylon is over, and then another kingdom arise. So the history proceed according to the dream which men revealed to King Nebuchadnezzar. So the golden head is going to pass, and then second is the silver shoulder and breast, right? So from chapter 4 to chapter 5, there is about 25 years difference. So 25 years pass. So if we count from chapter 1, it's almost 70 years already. Okay. So the king in chapter 5 is Belshazzar, right? Belshazzar actually is the king of Nabonidus, who is the son-in-law of Nebuchadnezzar. Something happened between his son. So once the great king passed away, and then all the descendants, they just try to be a king. So just fighting, fight for the throne, fight for the authority. So eventually, now the kingship came to the Nabonidus, his son-in-law, now is a king. Belshazzar actually is the son, Nebuchadnezzar's son-in-law. And at the time, Belshazzar shared a regency with his father when his father absent from Babylon. You can easily get the historical background from internet about chapter 5. So, because at that time, the Medo and Persia kingdom is arising, is getting stronger and stronger, so become a threat to Babylon. So, Nabonidus, actually he led the army to Arabia in the Tima, there's a place, oasis, to conquer the enemy. So let the son, Belshazzar, control in the city of Babylon. So that's why in chapter 5 we can see how this king wanted to put Daniel eventually at the third place in the kingdom. Yeah, because he is king, his father also is king. So the only place Daniel can sit is the number 3. Okay, so this is a historical background. Okay, next please. So the Medo and Persians has been noted doing what is believed to be construction work to build a siege mount against the main fortress of the city Babylon, in which Belshazzar is here feasting. This is a staggeringly large and strong fortress. This describes how strong the city of Babylon was. The wall is 350 feet high, and the thickness is 87 foot thick. You can see how the city is so huge. You know, the defense so complete, and the river of Euphrates runs over the city, so they have the water supply from the river, and the city wall is so big, so high. From human perspective, there is no chance to conquer this city. So even though this enemy, they are building some of the. They try to siege the city, because this city of Babylon, the capital, is become the last fortress, this last city they have to take over. Once they take the capital, then the kingdom fell, right? So to Belshazzar, he considered this city is so secure, they are well protected. He didn't fear anything about their attack. So that's why, at this particular moment, he has a heart to host this big banquet, invite all the officers to come together to enjoy. So you can see his mentality. Right? Next, please. Let's look at the outline of the chapter 5. Chapter 5. So, verse 1 to verse 4, this is Belshazzar's blasphemous banquet. The banquet. It relates to eating and the drinking, to enjoy your life. You know. And then the second, from verse 5 to 9, the handwriting on the wall. This is how God interfered into his kingdom, because the king already crossed the line which God draw to him. The king crossed over the line. And then from verse 10 to 12, the recommendation of Daniel. Daniel was called into the palace, you know, right? So the recommendation from verse 10 to verse 12, actually, this is from the queen, you know? The recommendation of Daniel from the queen. Now, from 13 to 16, Daniel is summoned, is called in. And 17 to 24, Daniel's indictment, how Daniel rebuked the king, right? He rebuked it publicly because the king knew what happened to his father, Nebuchadnezzar. Right? And then, at the end, Daniel interpret the writing. So Daniel's interpretation in from verse 25 to 28, and then finally is the reward of Daniel and the Belshazzar. God also give him a reward, right? A reward of destruction. Okay, so this is chapter 5, all right. Continue. So you can see the king hosted this banquet. That is in a particular, the time of war, actually. The enemy just outside of the war, facing an invading enemy. Why do you suppose they are holding a feast at a time such as this scale, so big, right? What does this reveal about their mind? Huh? Their mind, what is that? They are so confident in what they have built because they consider the city, this is the big fortress. No way, no one can take over it. You know, as long as they stay in the city, then they have security. Right? So doesn't matter. You do your construction work. That's your business. But I still can enjoy life, eating and drinking. Actually, their actions display the core spiritual weakness from which nearly all sin springs, which is pride. Pride. So in chapter 5, we see how God used his way to demonstrate, to manifest his judgment to those who have pride. So pride actually is a big problem. Right? Pride, we see it in King Nebuchadnezzar, now again in the Belshazzar. Okay? So, in our heart, do we have to deal with this problem of pride in our heart? Do we show this pride, this proud of the attitude of pride in doing work, in our study, in how we interact with others? If you have pride, then your attitude change. If you consider yourself so great, so beautiful, or so, you know, I'm satisfied with myself, then that's a big problem. We have to really deal with. So how does their pride take sin to an even deeper level? Okay, they host a banquet, right? It's a pride, it's a problem. But what is the even deeper problem because of this, the initial pride? What is that? Let's read verse 2 to verse 4. Brother, Dexter. Okay. You know, this is over 1,000, right? 1,000 guests together. Now, they consider have to do anything, you know, more special in this special gathering. So while he tested the wine, then commanded to bring the vessel out. So problem is, arrogant and haughty. Having the feast in the face of the invading enemy, who is just on the other side of the city wall. This already showed their arrogance, right? But next, they take out and use the vessel which are dedicated for God only in his temple. His father took the vessel and then special put into the storage. They are not to use it. Because this God's will, God wants to keep his vessel, this holy vessel, in this secure place. So Nebuchadnezzar dare not to use it, to touch it, they just put it there. But this king, he do these things, we call it blaspheming. It's called blaspheming. He take out and use this vessel, especially for only in the temple. You can see how man's heart becomes so proud of, becomes so brave, fearless, doesn't care anything, right? So this is called sin against God. So from initial pride, and then go deeper and deeper, sin against God even more. Then to a point, no way, then returned. Next, please. Talking about the city of Babylon. What is often associated with wine and drunkenness in the scripture? Babylon. If we mention about Babylon, it always associated with enjoyment, all the business, eating, drinking, you know, entertainment, all are related to Babylon. So that's why Jeremiah 51 verse 7, let's read this verse. Jeremiah 51:7. Babylon have a special meaning in the scripture. 51:7. Actually is a long chapter. 51:7. Sister Joanna. Okay. Thank you. Babylon has been a golden cup in the Lord's hand that made all the earth drunken. So be careful. We are living in the city of Babylon. No. Don't be drunk, right? Because he's so, sometimes he's so beautiful. Revelation chapter 14, Revelation chapter 17, chapter 18, all talking about the city of Babylon. We have to run out. Don't dip in the Babylon. We have to all be out of Babylon. If we remain in the Babylon, then we perish. When we have chance to escape, but we decide to tarry a little bit longer to enjoy the happiness in the city, then the perish just arrive. Then this is our decision. This so-called price. There is no free lunch, right? No free lunch. Always remember. You always have to pay price. We enjoy in this world, in this life, then we pay price after that. Okay? There is no so-called meaningless sufferings. If we suffer, because of the sake of the Lord, because of the gospel, we suffer, then we receive reward. So our sufferings, our servitude to the Lord never turn out to be empty. Always have value. The reward will follow, will come. Okay? So this is the Babylon. Okay? Next, please. Wait, 1 more minute. They blaspheme God, but who does Babylonians worship? In verse 4, they worship the gods of gold, silver, bronze, iron, wood, stone, all different kind of material. Right? People worship men too. Okay. Worship money. Worship yourself. Your own pride. Worship our own talent. Right? So, when we rely on this anything beside God, then while we are feeling so peace and safety, then the destruction come upon them suddenly. It's so true in chapter 5. Okay. Next, please. To this chapter, because we don't have enough time to cover everything, but the most thing is, God has drawn a line which limits to how far man can go. In His long suffering and mercy, God grant man time and chance to repent. But there is also a time for judgment, remember. So when God allows us, you know, we may do something wrong, okay? We sin against God. We know it. When we commit something not appropriate according to the truth, in our heart personally, we know it. Sometimes we don't admit it. We want to cover it. Oh? But we may think and say, oh, nothing happened. The life is just the same. If I commit sins, then I still can come to church. I still can do a normal life. No change. People don't know it. It doesn't matter. But be aware of that. If nothing happened, doesn't mean it doesn't matter. Right? If nothing happened, good, because this may be a period of grace. God allow us. God actually is long suffering. God endures this kind of the unrighteousness happen to His children. God is waiting and waiting, want people to repent. Right? So we must treasure this. Nothing happened, then we better to change ourselves. If we change it, we repent it, then God's mercy will upon to us. We have to return to God, otherwise no way to out. Right? If we continue to do in our own way, and we ignore God's grace, and interpret God's silence as nothing happened, and this should be okay, then we are in trouble. Actually, it's war to you. This is what this chapter tells us. Okay? Let us all learn the lesson from this king. So we can really be prosperous and become a great beloved son and daughter of the Lord. Okay? So it's in chapter 5. The next class, we will cover chapter 6 and then go into the chapter 7. Let's pray in silence.